News of the Church and Comment. Perth, Australia Temple Dedicated. President Gordon B. Hinckley dedicated the Perth, Australia Temple in four sessions on May 20th. The new temple is the church's 106th in operation and the fourth in Australia. In his dedicatory prayer, President Hinckley said, "We thank Thee for this land of Australia, where this and other temples have been built. We thank Thee for the freedom of worship which obtains here. May this great nation always remain a place of individual liberty, that men and women may approach Thee within these walls without threat or disturbance of any kind." Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles also participated in the dedication, along with members of the Australia-New Zealand Area Presidency, Elders Kenneth Johnson, Valar Christensen, and Victor D. Cave of the 70. Nearly 2,773 Latter-day Saints attended the dedication to the temple, which will serve 12,000 of Australia's approximately 104,000 members. Some 37,000 people attended the April 28th through the May 12th open house, except Sundays, including prominent citizens from government, business, media, and interfaith groups. Other Australian temples in Adelaide, Melbourne, and Sydney have been dedicated in recent years, and ground has been broken for a fifth temple in Brisbane. Speaking of the new temples, Peter Muirs, president of the Perth Australia Warwick Stake, said, "Australia is emerging as a very significant place for the church. The new temples will assist our many members to unite their families eternally and cement their faith in the restored gospel of Jesus Christ." Meeting members in Fiji. Speaking to members in Fiji at a meeting on May 21st, President Hinckley called on them to make the church shine in their country. He met with some 900 members at a stake center in Nadi, Fiji, during a stop on the return trip from the dedication of the Perth Australia Temple. "The gospel shines through your faces. It makes you look so attractive, wonderful. Stay that way. Stay with the church. Let everything that you do bring credit and honor to the church of which you are a member, and the Lord will bless you, magnify you," President Hinckley promised. "God bless you, my beloved associates, in this great work," he added. "May He smile with favor upon you. May you know that the Lord loves you, and may each of us seek to live according to the pattern which He has established." He assured those gathered to hear him that obedience would bring blessings. "The Lord cannot bless you unless you are obedient to His commandments. I hope, therefore, that you pay your tithes and offerings. Be they large or small, be honest with the Lord, and He will open the windows of heaven and pour down blessings upon you that there will not be room enough to receive them." Even though the 40-minute meeting had been arranged on only a few hours' notice, members came from throughout the island of Fiji to attend. The opportunity to meet with the prophet was especially sweet for Fijian members because they had not been able to attend the dedication of the Suva Fiji Temple last June. That temple dedication was held quietly out of the public eye during a period of civil unrest. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland also spoke at the meeting, bearing his testimony of the restoration of the gospel in this, the dispensation of the fullness of times, and of the prophetic calling of President Hinckley. Farewell to an associate. President Hinckley paid tribute on May 25th to Elder Lauren C. Dunn, president of the Boston, Massachusetts Temple, and an emeritus member of the 70, who died on May 16th of complications following surgery. Speaking at Elder Dunn's funeral in Salt Lake City, President Hinckley was joined by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency, President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency, and President Boyd K. Packer, Acting President of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. President Hinckley called Elder Dunn a noble man in the finest sense of the word and the most willing worker I've ever seen. Elder Dunn's service as President of the Boston Temple was probably the capstone of his 34 years of full-time service, the church president said. He's gone to a greater work than he ever knew here. President Monson spoke of Elder Dunn as a giant of a man of great kindness. He died in the service of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. President Faust eulogized Elder Dunn as a dedicated, obedient servant of the Lord who endured to the end. A giant oak among us has fallen, he said. President Packer spoke of celebrating the life of one so worthy and able. He noted how well Elder Dunn and his wife, Sharon Longdon Dunn, had functioned together in service. It has been a joy to associate with them. President Hinckley, President Faust honor pioneers. During a program in Salt Lake City on May 12th, President Gordon B. Hinckley dedicated, as a memorial, a restored pioneer cabin. On the same day, President James E. Faust, second counselor in the first presidency, spoke during a program in Wyoming honoring church members who had helped memorialize the sacrifices of Latter-day Saint pioneers in that state. President Hinckley spoke at the dedication of the Richard and Mary Goble Pay Cabin at This Is the Place Heritage Park in Salt Lake City. The cabin once belonged to the Pays, who were grandparents of Marjorie Pay Hinckley, the president's wife. Originally located in central Utah, the cabin was restored by Pay family members and donated to the park. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles also attended the dedication. In his dedicatory prayer, President Hinckley referred to the sufferings of the group of pioneers, including Mary Goble's and Richard Pay's families, who were part of a wagon train company that traveled and suffered with the Willie and Martin handcart companies. These westward-bound pioneers were stalled by early snowstorms in Wyoming in 1856. Many of that group died before rescuers sent by President Brigham Young arrived. All who are the posterity of the pioneers of that generation today accept this restored cabin as a reminder of a great and unequaled heritage, President Hinckley said in the prayer. As their vision was large, may our vision be large. As their faith was strong, may ours also be strong. In remarks during a program in Wyoming, President Faust spoke of the two rescues of the Willie and Martin Pioneer Group. First, many of them were rescued from death in 1856. The second rescue came in the 1990s, when saving ordinances of the temple were performed for many of them, and the monuments to their sacrifice were erected at historic sites. President Faust was the keynote speaker for a program honoring Scott and Dee Lorimer. While president of the Riverton, Wyoming stake, Scott Lorimer and his wife Dee led efforts to bring out of obscurity the historic sites where monuments and visitor centers have now been developed. Because of their efforts, the Wyoming State Legislature declared May 12, 2001, Scott and Dee Lorimer Day. The program honoring them was held at Central Wyoming College in Riverton. President Faust spoke of the terrible price and the agony and suffering for the faith paid by the Willie and Martin companies. We wonder why a kind and merciful God did not temper the elements to spare them from their profound agony. I think I have found the answer to my own satisfaction. I may be wrong, but I believe their lives were consecrated to a higher purpose through their suffering and their example. Their love for the Savior was burned deep into their souls and into the souls of their children and their children's children, and it will be so forever. Elder Donald L. Staley of the 70, president of the North America Central Area, attended the program, as did state governmental leaders and the current president of the Riverton stake, Lloyd Larson. President Brigham Young honored on 200th birthday. President Brigham Young was honored on the 200th anniversary of his birth, June 1st, during programs in both Salt Lake City, where he helped the church and its members put down roots in the mid-1800s, and in his Vermont birthplace. President Young was rightfully recognized as a builder, an innovator, a colonizer, and a motivator, but he never lost sight of his greater mission. He was prophet, seer, and revelator to his people, said President Gordon B. Hinckley at an evening concert program in the Tabernacle on Temple Square in Salt Lake City. The prophet in him shone with greatest luster when he spoke of such matters as the plan of man's salvation, the eternal possibilities of the human soul, the atonement of the Savior of mankind, and its effect upon the sons and daughters of God, and of the great God of the universe, the Father of us all, President Hinckley said. On this his 200th birthday, We pause to honor Him. We love Him. We admire Him. We respect Him. We testify of the divinity of His calling and of the magnificence of His accomplishment, and do it all as those who look to Him still for leadership in moving forward this great cause and kingdom, even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. President Hinckley was accompanied at the program by President Thomas S. Monson and President James E. Faust, respectfully first and second counselors in the First Presidency. President Monson conducted the program, which included a selection of hymns and American folk songs performed by the Tabernacle Choir and remarks by Thomas B. Williams, president of the Brigham Young Family Association. The true blessings that come to the descendants of the prophets are not material or social, but spiritual, Brother Williams said. Brigham Young was, above all else, a passionate witness of Jesus Christ, he noted, and the blessings that come to his descendants flow from heeding his testimony and following his example. Brother Williams bore testimony of the prophetic callings of President Young and of President Hinckley today. Descendants of President Young offered the prayers for the program. His only living granddaughter, 102-year-old Marion Morgan of Seal Beach, California, was in attendance. At a luncheon earlier in the day, President Hinckley had been honored with the first-ever Brigham Young Heritage Award, given by This Is the Place Foundation. His efforts in remembering the pioneers and in building the community founded by Brigham Young were cited. Before the evening concert, a new bronze statue of President Young was unveiled at the Brigham Young Cemetery on First Avenue, one block east of the church office building. The statue depicts President Young, the father and teacher, reading to two of his children. Utah Governor Mike Leavitt had proclaimed June 1, 2001, as a special Brigham Young Day in Utah to honor the 200th birthday of the man who was, among other things, the first governor of the territory of Utah. Brigham Young was born on June 1, 1801, in Whittingham, Vermont, and on the anniversary of his birth, some 180 people from all over New England, members of the church and others interested in honoring the native son, gathered in the small Whittingham Municipal Center in Jacksonville, Vermont, to mark the occasion. Don Garby, president of the Hinsdale, New Hampshire branch, which includes Whittingham, said the program and the talks were helpful in clearing up misconceptions many New Englanders have about Brigham Young and about the church. Elder Holland dedicates memorial to pioneer women. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles dedicated a pioneer memorial in southwestern Utah on May 4th, honoring the women who helped settle the area. In his dedicatory prayer, Elder Holland asked that the monument become something of a beacon to remind us of who they were and what they did. In remarks earlier, he told the audience that the memorial pays tribute to those women's valor and endurance. The Pioneer Women's Memorial is located in Washington, Utah, founded in the late 19th century by Latter-day Saints sent by Brigham Young to raise cotton in the warm climate. The memorial includes a plaque engraved with names of Latter-day Saint women who were among the first colonizers in southwestern Utah, and a heroic-sized bronze statue of a pioneer woman carrying a child and her scriptures. In her arm, she holds the essence of what is precious to her, her family, and her faith, Elder Holland told the 1,000-plus people attending the dedication. Look into her face. She's facing the future with faith. Elder Holland also quoted Western American writer Wallace Stegner, who said of the pioneers, "Mormon men were strong, but Mormon women were incredible." Changes in Presidency of 70. In June, the First Presidency announced changes in the Presidency of the 70. Elder Charles DDA and Elder Cecil O. Samuelson, Jr. will succeed Elder L. Alden Porter and Elder Marlon K. Jensen. Elder Porter, who had been the senior president of the 70 since 1996, will become emeritus in October. Elder Jensen, who was serving as the executive director of the priesthood department and as general Sunday school president, has been called to serve in the Europe Central Area Presidency. At the time of his call, Elder Didier was serving in the Utah South Area Presidency and as Assistant Executive Director of the Family and Church History Department. He was previously a member of the Presidency of the 70 from 1992 to 1995. Elder Samuelson had been serving as President of the Utah North Area and as Assistant Executive Director of the Temple Department. Elder Earl C. Tingey is the new Senior President of the 70. Also continuing in the Presidency of the 70 are Elders D. Todd Christofferson, David E. Sorensen, Ben B. Banks, and Dennis B. Neuenschwander. Institute program marks 75 years. Our spiritual knowledge gives secular knowledge a purpose, said Elder Henry B. Irene of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, speaking at a May 6 fireside commemorating the 75th anniversary of the Church's Institute program. Elder Irene emphasized a balance between spiritual and secular learning. The fireside was broadcast from the Institute at the University of Idaho in Moscow, Idaho, to institutes in North, Central, and South America. The first institute was founded in 1926 at the University of Idaho under the direction of President Heber J. Grant to provide a spiritual haven for students not attending church schools. 1880 U.S. Census released on CD-ROM. Suppose you needed information about an ancestor who lived in the United States in 1880, but all you knew was the first name and approximate birth year. Before, your task would have seemed impossible, but now chances are good you will be able to find that person quickly using the 1880 United States Census records just released on CD-ROM by the Church. The 56 CD-ROM set puts 50.5 million names and data about these individuals at the fingertips of family history researchers, along with a powerful search engine. It is the most significant family history product the Church has produced to date, said Ray Madsen, manager of resource files for the Family and Church History Department. The 1880 census provides the most comprehensive census picture of the country's population as the nation expanded westward. The records' nationwide and regional indexes allow researchers to search broadly or more narrowly according to the information they may have. The versatile search engine developed by the Family and Church History Department and used in a number of other family history products allows bits and pieces or wild card searches, Brother Madsen explained. Researchers may use the bits and pieces they have about an individual, first name, place of birth, or occupation, for example. In a wild card search, they may replace easily mistaken or unknown letters with an asterisk, and the search will turn up names with the blanks filled. Completion of the extraction project took 17 years and involved 11.5 million hours of work by extractors. The Historic Census Project of Minnesota Population Center at the University of Minnesota worked as a partner with the Church. Brother Madsen said that the 1880 U.S. Census record can be used effectively by researchers in conjunction with the 1881 British Census record introduced by the Church in 1999. This includes 30 million names from England, Wales, and Scotland, and the 1881 Canadian Census, soon to be completed. The 1880 United States Census Record Package, item number 501-68000, $49 U.S. money, includes 35 data CDs, 20 index CDs, and a viewer CD, and is available through church distribution centers. New Area Presidency Assignments. The First Presidency has announced changes in assignments for area presidencies, including the creation of the Idaho area in the western United States. The changes are effective August 15, 2001. All presidency members belong to the Quorums of the 70. North America Northwest, Quentin L. Cook, President, William R. Bradford, First Counselor, Stephen A. West, Second Counselor. North America Central, Donald L. Staley, President, Bruce C. Hafen, First Counselor, Dennis E. Simmons, Second Counselor. North America Northeast, W. Craig Zwick, President, Spencer J. Conde, First Counselor, Glenn L. Pace, second counselor. North America East, Sheldon F. Child, president. J. Kent Jolly, first counselor. Gordon T. Watts, second counselor. North America Southeast, Richard D. Allred, president. Jean R. Cook, first counselor. J. Devon Cornish, second counselor. North America Southwest, F. Burton Howard, president. Richard J. Maines, first counselor. Dale E. Miller, second counselor. North America West, Dieter F. Uchtdorf, president. Lynn G. Robbins, first counselor. Dwayne B. Gerard, second counselor. Utah North, Cree L. Coford, president. Monty J. Bruff, first counselor. L. Edward Brown, second counselor. Utah South, John H. Groberg, president. W. Rolf Kerr, first counselor. Ned B. Ruscha, second counselor. Idaho, C. Scott Groh, president. D. Rex Garrett, first counselor. Ronald L. Loveland, second counselor. Mexico North, Lynn A. Mickelson, president. Gary J. Coleman, first counselor. Adriana Coa, second counselor. Mexico South, Richard H. Winkle, president. Gerald L. Taylor, first counselor. Armando Gayona, second counselor. Central America, Enrique R. Falabella, president. Julio E. Alvarado, first counselor. E. Israel Perez, second counselor. South America North, Robert J. Whetton, president. H. Aldridge Gillespie, first counselor. Roberto Garcia, second counselor. South America West, David R. Stone, president. Carlos H. Amato, first counselor. Juan Uceda, second counselor. Brazil North, Robert S. Wood, president. Darwin B. Christensen, first counselor. Robert R. Stewart, second counselor. Brazil South, Athos M. Amorim, president. Neil L. Anderson, first counselor. Adamar Damiani, second counselor. Chile, Stephen B. Ovison, president. Francisco J. Vinas, first counselor. John A. Harris, second counselor. South America South, J. E. Jensen, president. Keith Crockett, first counselor. Claudio D. Zivic, second counselor. Africa West, H. Bruce Stuckey, president. H. Ross Workman, first counselor. R. Conrad Schultz, second counselor. Africa Southeast, Robert C. Oakes, president. Christopher Golden, Jr., first counselor. Stephen E. Snow, second counselor. Philippines, Merrill C. Oakes, president. Angel Abria, first counselor. John M. Madsen, second counselor. Pacific Islands, Ronald T. Halverson, president. Earl M. Monson, first counselor. Robert K. Dellenbach, second counselor. Australia, New Zealand, Kenneth Johnson, president. Valar Christensen, first counselor. Victor D. Cave, second counselor. Europe Central, D. Lee Tobler, president. Ronald A. Rasband, first counselor. Marlon K. Jensen, second counselor. Europe West, Harold G. Hillam, president. Wayne S. Peterson, first counselor. John Maxwell, second counselor. Europe East, Douglas L. Callister. President Keith K. Hilbig, first counselor. Robert F. Orton, second counselor. Asia North, Donald L. Hallstrom, president. Yoshihiko Kikuchi, first counselor. Gary S. Matsuda, second counselor. Asia, H. Brian Richards, president. E. Ray Bateman, first counselor. John B. Dixon, second counselor. Church receives award for Joseph Smith Home. The Preservation League of New York State has given a 2001 Excellence in Historic Preservation Award to the church for the restoration of the Joseph Smith Senior Frame Home in Manchester Township near Palmyra, New York. The statewide award program recognizes those who have demonstrated an outstanding commitment to the preservation of New York State's irreplaceable architectural heritage, said Scott P. Hale, Preservation League president. The careful restoration of the building has returned this magnificent structure to its original appearance and will certainly add to the interpretation of the site. The frame house was the last built heritage of the Joseph Smith Sr. family, said Don Enders, church curator of historic sites. It is a wonderful place where sacred aspects of the gospel were carried out, such as bringing the gold plates home and placing them there, Elder Spencer J. Condy of the 70, a counselor in the presidency of the North America Northeast Area, Brother Enders, and Steve Olson, operations director for the Museum of Church History and Art, represented the church at the award ceremony in New York City on May 1st. The Smith family home moved to the Palmyra area in 1816, establishing a farm in Manchester Township and building a log house where Joseph received the visitation from the angel Moroni, Joseph Smith History 1, verses 30 through 47. By 1822, the eldest son, Alvin Smith, had begun work on the larger frame house. He died before it was completed, but in 1825, the Smith family moved into the partially furnished farmhouse. It was in this house that Joseph hid the gold plates beneath the fireplace hearth, and once between his younger sisters, who were in bed, during a mob intrusion. See Cradle of the Restoration, Ensign 2001, page 44. The Smith family moved out of the frame house in 1829, and over the years, successive owners altered the building. In 1997, the church began work to restore the frame house to its original state. The home is situated somewhat between the Palmyra Temple and the Sacred Grove. In the spotlight, BYU men's volleyball wins national title. Brigham Young University's men's volleyball team won the 2001 National Collegiate Athletic Association Championship, defeating the top-ranked University of California at Los Angeles 3-0. Along with securing its second NCAA championship in 3 years, the team earned the Mountain Pacific Sports Federation MPSF regular season title, the 2001 MPSF Coach of the Year title, and All-American ranking for four players. First Latino branch formed in Japan. Until recently, English-speaking branches were the only fully non-Japanese-speaking branches in Japan, but earlier this year, the Kuga branch, the first all-Spanish and Portuguese-speaking branch in Japan, was organized in the Japan Kobe Mission. David F. Robertson, recently released as president of the mission, said the branch is in a factory district of Japan's Shiga Prefecture, which employs thousands of workers from South American countries. Some were already members and leaders in South America before they came to Japan, says Brother Robertson. The creation of this branch allows these members to worship and serve in their native tongue. Latino members who have joined the church in Japan are a major part of the branch. Australian Stake receives service award. The Perth, Australia Warwick Stake received an award for the best community project in Western Australia for the year 2000. Stake members spent a day cleaning the Ocean Reef Beach for the start of the summer season. Robert Hill, Minister for Environment and Heritage, presented Warwick Stake President Peter Muirs with a picture that now hangs in the Stake Center. A number of other government dignitaries were also present at the award ceremony. Tennessee Stake involves inmates and quilting. For the past several months, inmates of the Brushy Mountain Correctional Complex in Wartburg, Tennessee, have been spending their Saturdays quilting. 8 to 10 quilts are completed each month and delivered to child welfare agencies. The project was started by a Latter-day Saint inmate at Brushy Mountain, who contacted leaders of the Knoxville Cumberland Stake and asked for their help in beginning a service club at the facility. Stake members provide quilting supplies and finish the edges after inmates have tied the quilts. In addition, weekly worship services are being held at the facility under the direction of Cumberland Stake President Richard Riggs. Inmates have expressed appreciation for the program. One inmate said that many feel sorry for crimes they have committed and that the project provides a way for them to repay the community. Policies and announcements. The First Presidency sent the following letter dated April 25, 2001 to General Authorities, Area Authority 70s, Stake, Mission, and District Presidents, Bishops and Branch Presidents, to be read in Sacrament Meeting. In the priesthood session of the April 2001 General Conference of the Church, the creation of a perpetual education fund was announced. This fund will provide loans to help return missionaries and other needy members in less developed countries obtain education needed for job skills. Members wanting to contribute to this fund may do so through their ward or branch by writing PEF on the other line on a donation slip. They may also send donations directly to Church Headquarters in care of Treasury Services, 50 East North Temple Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150. Questions relating to this program may be directed to the Perpetual Education Fund office at 801-240-7841. We anticipate that lives will be enhanced and blessed as educational and vocational opportunities are made available. Pass along cards available in Spanish. Pass along cards released in English last year as an effective tool for members to use to share the gospel are now available in Spanish in the United States and Canada. The Spanish version cards have a depiction of the Savior on one side and an invitation on the back to call a toll-free number and request a church video. The Lamb of God, also available in Spanish. To order pass-along cards in Spanish or English for use in the United States and Canada, contact your local distribution center. English-language pass-along cards featuring the Lamb of God are also available for use in the United Kingdom and Ireland, as well as Australia and New Zealand. The cards are also being used in several other European countries. Comment: Nourishing faith. At special times in my life, I have felt the Holy Ghost as a companion. My lack of faith at certain times was hard to understand. Reading the article Faith in Jesus Christ, April 2001, helped me to know it is a process. I had been praying for stronger faith and a desire to understand the concept to a greater degree. While reading, I realized it's not something you just get, but something you nourish to receive. Thank you. Ann Hart, Henderson, Nevada. Fighting Profanity. I enjoyed the article about profanity in the April Ensign. I feel another way that we can stand up to profanity is not to watch shows that use any kind of bad language, including taking our Heavenly Father's and our Savior's names in vain. If we would not support the companies that make TV shows and movies with such language in them, maybe the movies with this kind of content would decrease. Bethlyn Robeson, Cedar Hills, Utah. Illustrating the messages. Since my ensign had not yet arrived, I accepted the offer from my bishop's wife to download the visiting teaching message from the church's website for me. Then the next day, the April ensign arrived in the mail. As I turned to the message, it gladdened my soul to read it in column format, with a color illustration pertaining to the gospel principle taught in the message. The Spirit was there. The computer printout had the same message. However, until this experience, I had not considered the layout of the church magazines as being part of the way the Spirit can convey the message. The ensign does indeed provide the word of the Lord in the manner that He would have it done. It is to bring us closer to our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we are taught by His Spirit. Charlie Carter, Louisville, Kentucky. Note: beginning with the 2001 issues, page layouts with illustrations, PDF format, are available at www.lds.org in the Gospel Library. Be aware that this format requires more time to download. End of News of the Church and Comment.